Well, I don't see a bunch of people waddling around, so evidently you didn't eat too much. I was talking with my neighbor the other day, and he was setting things up so he could go to Virginia, and then he's going to be in Florida until April. And he and his son were standing there, and they said, you know, okay, 11 o'clock tomorrow. And then they both looked at me, and I just thought, well, 11 o'clock tomorrow, that's, you know, what time I'm going to my parents. And they said, well, we're going to go to Bob Evans. And he said, you know, the son said, well, it's just me and my wife, and it's just mom and dad, and there's no point in them cooking up $200 worth of food because they aren't going to take it with them. And, okay. And you know what? And honestly, it's great. You want to do it, you do it. Doesn't bother me any. But I truly hope that of all things that we remembered, forget the protests on Alcatraz. I can't think of a stupider place to hold a protest. Go to a former military prison. Forget all the garbage. The whole point of Thanksgiving was giving thanks to our Creator for all the blessings we have in our life. And, you know, if you've been around here for a minute, you've heard me gripe on Black Friday people. And I use that word like that. As it turns out, I was out Black Friday. I had no choice. Had a doctor's appointment. And thought, well, Lowe's has got a ladder on sale that I want. Sure enough, they had them. I got my ladder. But you know what I'm not hearing a lot of anymore? And, you know, we've heard about fights and things that take place. And I'm sure there was some somewhere. How we spend one day thanking, being thankful and grateful for all the things we got, and then the next day we fight. And you can get some good deals out there. I mean, that ladder was a pretty good deal. And but in the end, when we act like that, are we truly grateful? Are we truly thankful for the things we've got? Or did we just get together, stuff ourselves for the sake of tradition? You know, and when you go around to the family, I don't know if you ever done it, sometimes it's been done. Say, somebody just name one thing you're thankful for. 9 times out of 10, family is part of it. Usually 9 out of 10 people will say, I'm thankful for family, even though they have nothing to do with you. But we should live our life every day being thankful and grateful for the things God has done for us. And one of the greatest things he ever did for us was to send Jesus Christ. Jesus accepted the responsibility placed upon him. I don't know all of the details or why everything has to happen the way it has happened. I just have to maybe agree with Tolkien, Lord of the Rings? Yeah, Tolkien. And way back in time, before us, there was something written in place that we don't understand. And that had the devil understood it, he would have never crucified Jesus. But what Jesus Christ did brought us forgiveness. And Jesus' ministry, I hear lots of people, especially if they're trying to just delve in one area of the gospel of Jesus Christ and what he preached and what he taught and lived. You know, I hear people say, oh, he taught about money more than he talked about this. No, he didn't. I don't know where you're ripping this all up, but he did not. But I will tell you one thing he did teach a lot about. Well, first off, he taught about love all the time. That's why one book, the book of John, if you ever get anybody who wants to know more about Jesus, read the book of John. Stay out of Revelation. Revelation will just blow your mind because you don't understand God to begin with. The things in Revelation, there aren't going to be giant locusts with the face of men coming down. John merely described something he couldn't understand. Personally, I think they're helicopters, but anyhow, read the book of John. John understood love. That's why John 3:16 is probably the most well-known scripture in the world. For God so loved the world that he sent Jesus, he sent him, and if we were to believe upon him, that we would have everlasting life. And then John 3:17 says, for God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world. The church should not be a place of condemnation. If you get your toes stepped on, it's because God's trying to deal with you about something. And you need to take the next step and say, okay, God, do something in me. When I gave my life back to God, I said, God, I don't want to know you through my wife. I don't want to know you through my parents. I don't want to know you through some preacher. If it ain't going to be between you and me, then there's nothing there. But I'm going to tell you right now, ever since 1991, God has revealed himself to me greater and greater than I could ever possibly have imagined. And I'll tell you right now, it has come with bumps and bruises, a couple scrapes and cuts, a lot of frustration, but it was all living. It's a part of life. No matter who you are, you deal with the bumps and the bruises. If you go down any Morrow County road except the ones they just paved, I don't care what you're driving, you are going to have to deal with the potholes. Right? You can have the nicest, you can drive a Mercedes-Benz. You will still have to hit those potholes. There was a time in life I used to think the faster you drove, you just kind of flew over them. Until I started paying for my own repairs, I go slow. So God wanted us to be free. One of the things he wants us to be free from is unforgiveness. It's a hard, hard thing to let go, isn't it? We can say, well, I just let you go. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you ever think about it and you start getting a little aggravated about something, you haven't forgiven it. If you can't just let it go, if you have to bring it up, I understand there's sometimes you need somebody to talk to that you can get something off your chest. You know, I'm not going to sit and tell you there's a formula for doing everything. There is not. There is no one method that works for everybody. I did not surrender my heart to Jesus Christ fully in a church. I was in a sleeping bag on the north end of Okinawa, half drunk. Didn't do it in a church, but yet people think this is where you got to come to find salvation. People, I'm going to tell you right now, people have found salvation. It's Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. But you can find it in your kitchen. You can find it in your bathroom. It's wherever you get the revelation. But that forgiveness part, we like to hold on to that. We remember, don't we? We say, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive. But boy, we hold on to it. We remember. And I've talked about we got to forgive ourselves. There's times I remember the exact date of the stupid things I did. I can give you a time frame on some of the others that just didn't stick out as much. But forgiving other people. Yeah. We kind of hold on to that stuff. In Matthew, you don't have to turn there because I'm going to paraphrase this whole thing. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35, and right there's why I'm paraphrasing it. Not that it's not important, but this is the parable of the unforgiving servant. This servant, well, first to start it all off, Jesus was standing there, and Peter came to him, and he's, you know how religious people get. Lord, if I forgive my brother 70 times in one day, is that good enough? Jesus looked at him and said, No, it's not, Peter. I'm going to tell you to do it 490 times. Say what? If you do the math, folks, you really cannot offend somebody 490 times a day. It's not possible. And if you can be offended 490 times a day, get a life. You've got to get past, you're going to get offended at everybody. If you can be offended 490 times, I mean, it breaks down to a time you can count. I forget what it was. I did the math years ago. But we cannot tolerate being bound up in unforgiveness. We weren't built for it. So Jesus then goes to tell this story about a king. He said, the kingdom of heaven. I want you to pay attention in your Bible, in your reading time, when it says the kingdom of heaven is like this. Pay attention. And I'm going to tell you right now, people are going to say, well, you know what? The Gospels were written in the time before Jesus died, so everything changed afterwards. When the kingdom of heaven is spoken like this, there are things Jesus spoke never change. The kingdom of heaven is not going to change. The kingdom of heaven did not change just because Jesus died and resurrected. The kingdom of heaven was actually revealed more because now we can see through God's grace what the kingdom of heaven was about. So Jesus is telling us this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who had servants who owed him lots and lots of money. And as one particular servant came to him, he was brought before him. They said, how much does he owe? The king asked, how much did he owe? And the accountant said, he owes us $100 million. I'm telling you this paraphrase modern time, okay? He owes us $100 million. And the guy's like, I don't have it. I lost it all. Please forgive me. Give me more time. I will pay you back. I will get it back. And he begged. And he was about to order the man's family to be sold, him to be thrown into prison and be tortured. And the king looked and saw this man begging, probably had crocodile tears in his eyes, begging and pleading, not only for himself now, for his family. He didn't want his family to have to pay for what he did. And the king, the Bible says, had compassion and took pity on him and forgave him the debt. The man elated, got up, shook himself, straightened himself up, and went out. And he's walking down Broadway Street, and he sees a guy, the doorman, for his condo. He borrowed $100 from him. And he said, hey, John, you owe me $100. John said, yes, sir, I do. I do not deny that. But I do not have it right now. I use that to buy medicine for my wife. I don't really care, John. I can't tell you how much I don't care. You owe me $100 and you're going to pay it back right now. But I don't have it. So he grabs John, beats him. Your Bible says it took him by the throat. Beats him. Drags him down to the debtor's prison where he just narrowly escaped. An order to his family be brought in as well to pay off his minuscule debt. Well, the other businessmen around, you know, they'd been in the room when the king just forgave him. And they saw this and it angered them. And they requested a meeting with the king, and they went back and said, listen, you forgave him. And he went and did this. It angered the king. King called him up, said, hey, I need to talk to you. Guy comes in the room. You know, I'm sure he's thinking, man, I'm going to get blessed here. I'm going to get something good out of this two times in one day. The guy wants to talk to him. Maybe he's willing to make another investment. If he lost $100 million, be honest with you, I think I'm going to be a little shy loaning any more money. But the king says, did I not forgive you not more than 2 hours ago a debt of $100 million? Well, yes, you did. Yes, you did, sir. And I am much appreciative of it. But yet, Jack, I hear you went to your doorman who owed you $100. I forgave you $100 million, and he owed you $100. In your best day, you can make that in 30 seconds. Why did you not forgive him? He owed it to me. He owed me. That's not in there, but that's why. He owed me. Well, Jack, at this point, the king has, he's been holding it together as long as he can. The Bible even says he became angered, became extremely angry. This word, we're not even going to get into the word because it crosses some other lines. If you understand Greek, one word could describe several things, but it talks about a frenzy. His anger became so hot that he became he went into a frenzy. He couldn't see straight. And it describes this kind of anger that somebody's going to die. It is they actually described it more of a revenge of anger. So he went in from peaceful, forgiving king to now a vengeful judge. See, I don't know about you, but personally, I want to keep God on the merciful king side and escape the vengeful judge. And he threw him into prison where he was tortured. Now, in the kingdom of heaven, the prison he's talking about is obviously hell. It's eternity, folks. And just so you get a real grip on what hell is not being tormented by demons. Hell is not the devil down there with a pitchfork keep poking you in a big cauldron, cooking you. That is not hell. Hell, the Bible describes as utter darkness. Imagine a darkness so thick that you could put your hand right here in front of your face and not know it. Somebody could be standing right there beside you and you have no clue they're there. There's no light. There's no love. See, the thing is with this world, while it is a dark world, there is still love in this world. That's what makes it bearable. A little love can overcome a lot of darkness. The man's debt was brought completely upon him until he should pay it in full. Now, I need you to understand, we can't pay the debt that Jesus paid. We cannot do that. We rely on the mercy of a loving God. But it's our decision to rely upon it. It's our decision to forgive those who have hurt us. And that's a hard thing to do. I'm not going to lie. I've dealt with things in the past that it took me a long, long time to forgive. But when you finally do, you start changing. You start maturing. But you will never grow if you do not forgive. That's just all there is to it. It's cut and dry. You're not growing if you haven't forgiven. And I mean more than just saying, I forgive. There's times I do remind myself, I forgive them, Lord. I forgive them. And it is. You think I jest about that. There are times I forgive them, Lord. I forgive them. And then a few minutes later, that has subsided. I don't want to be caught in an area of unforgiveness anymore because I don't want God's judgment coming upon me, bringing back all of my sins. See, I can tell you right now, I can see when people get in unforgiveness, they start changing. Their attitudes change. Even their demeanor, everything changes about them. They don't even realize what they're becoming. I could tell them, but you know what that's going to do? That's going to offend them again. So now I'm on their hit list. The only person that can actually reveal this is why the Holy Spirit was sent, was to reveal sin to us, is the Holy Spirit. That's why when I pray at the end of the service today, I pray something about the message. Lord, show us. You know, I don't want to know, if God shows me something about Maggie, he's telling me to pray for Maggie about that. And vice versa. That's the whole point of the Holy Spirit. So somebody can pray. Because it might not be something I can do anything about by myself. And it might be something that I don't even see as something wrong. Or that I'm hurting somebody. But if we don't forgive, Bible clearly tells us the kingdom of heaven is like this. If we don't forgive those who have hurt us, we will not be forgiven. As a matter of fact, the things that you're sitting here thinking, oh, I've been forgiven of all this stuff, you know, Jesus, he brings it back. Do you understand? God, it's not necessarily God that brings it back, because the Bible says God has cast our sin as far as the east to the west. If you don't understand that, they never meet. You're either going west all the time or you're going east, but you will never have east and west meeting. North and south do. But with God, he's forgiven it all. However, there is somebody who's waiting. Peter called him a lion. He says, our enemy, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion. Lions only roar and they walk about when they're looking for the way in. They're hunting. They're hoping to find that hole. You know, we read about Job, and he said when the sons of God all appeared before God, that the devil went too. And he said, have you considered my servant Job? He says, well, you've got a hedge around him. I can't get to him. Who'd have thought a row of bushes keeps out the devil? But he said, you're protecting him, God. Job was a man just like us. Job messed up. But the devil was looking for the opportunity. Do you think he's any less looking for an opportunity for you? The one thing that can get you. Listen, folks, you may be living in fear. I know a lot of people say they aren't. They are totally in fear. Well, I call that wisdom baloney. I don't believe in calling a spade a shovel. If you know the difference between the two, you're a smart person. But they are two entirely different things. Spade is pointed, a shovel's flat. If you didn't know. But that didn't let things in. What will let the devil in is unforgiveness. He can run right over you. Because now you're in his territory. Now you're in legalism. Do you get me? You owe me. So when they say, hey, you owe me, you're now being legal. Let me read you the next scripture, because I wanted to look at something real quick next. Jesus was talking about our prayer time. He said, whenever you, in Mark chapter 11, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. I only read that again, so because there's some people that, well, it's not in the Bible, I don't believe it. There it is, and even though the words are white on the wall, they are red in my Bible. They came from the Son of God, not a preacher, not a prophet, the Son of God, who is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And he said, if you don't forgive Jack, you ain't forgiven. It has nothing to do with how many people we lead to the Lord. It has nothing to do with how long we've been a Christian, how long we've claimed to know God. It has everything to do with us forgiving people. And trust me, that is probably the hardest thing in the world to do. It we can all sit here and say, you know, that, and you know, I'm going to tell you right now, I've shared a lot about myself growing up and stuff, but I can promise you right now that if I were to sit down and really talk with you, if you were to sit down and really open up, I'm not asking you to do that because I can only handle so much, but a lot of you aren't too far from me. Very similar things happened. People have hurt you. People have lied to you, used you, all for their gain. People you loved, people you respected. Again, people you thought were your friends. You have to forgive them and move on. Now, what does that do with us as well? I'm going to tell you what it should do after you've learned to forgive. You should be able to build up strength. See, forgiving isn't weakness. Forgiving is strength. In boot camp, the Marine drill instructors, they greet you there. From that point on, you know, I showed you that video last. Those yellow footprints really are there. I stood on those yellow footprints. Second one from the front, on the front row, second one from the very edge is where I started out. At that point, I was called everything but a white boy. My identity was taken away. Anything that was me was gone. I showed up with an empty wallet with a driver's license and a toothbrush and a pair of tennis shoes that I was wearing. And once I got inside those silver doors, they took that from me. And I had to carry this little blue bag called my money's valuable bag. It had everything I owned in the world. But during that time, they tore me down. And in a matter of 2 weeks, they built me back up. And that's what they do. They spent more time tearing us down and only 2 weeks to have to build us back up. You know why? Because we had learned. Every Sunday, we knew what that meant. You know, our senior drill instructor, he was our daddy. He was the one that loved us. That's what he used to tell us. I love you. The other guys, they don't. I'm going to tell you, every Sunday I began to question his love. Y'all saw the sand pits. We went to those sand pits every Sunday. It didn't matter what we did. We went to the sand pits. Eventually, we're going to the sand pit. We got to enjoy it. You take 80 guys, cram them in a shower the size of that stage right there, 80 guys, and you got to run in place. You got to do jumping jacks. You got to do all this garbage. We knew it was coming. Eventually, we began building up a tolerance to the abuse. Finally, when it came to the end of it, I remember the day we were called Marines. Because what it meant was we were something now. We had to let go of boot camp and embrace our future. A few years later, I would be in base housing, looked out my kitchen window, and I looked out my window there, and I said, honey, you ain't going to believe it. I said, come here. I said, see that guy walking over there? She's like, yeah. I said, that was my drill instructor in boot camp. She's like, really? And I said, yeah. And he went to my neighbor. He was a recon. He went over to my neighbor's house and went in. And I went over and knocked on Bobby's door and, hey, Art, how you doing? Good. You want to come in? I said, oh, actually, I just want to talk to somebody that just came in your house. And I said, his first name's Ken. I forgot his last name. But anyhow, I said, he just went in there. And Staff Sergeant, he'll hit me in a minute. But anyhow, I said, he was my drill instructor in boot camp. And he says, is that right? He says, hey, Ken, somebody at the door wants to talk to you. He came up. He's looking at me. You know, listen, I didn't expect him to know who I was. These guys see hundreds and hundreds of guys in their 1 year, year and a half tour. And I said, hey, I just wanted to come over and talk to you. I said, you were my drill instructor in boot camp. And the first things out of his mouth was, hey, boot camp is boot camp. It's a different world. Now, this is to tell you how much I had started changing. I said, I know. I know it was. I just wanted to thank you. He was one of the worst. I mean, man, it's a wonder he didn't have us wearing little pink tutus. But he cared the most. Now, I'm not saying that the people that are abusing you are doing it because they care. Okay? People who are using you and abusing you out here are selfish. They are doing it for their reasons. Sometimes they just don't know how to reach out. Sometimes they don't know how to love. That's another area you've got to get to. Everybody's hurting at some level. But everybody has to learn to start forgiving, period. Don't care who you are, how old you are. You've got to forgive. And just like that, I was able to grow as a Marine. A few years later, you know, a couple years back here, I was talking with Doc Barclay. He had been a Marine drill instructor, and I was just telling him some things, you know, things I learned, and, you know, things that how I had changed. And he said, "Your drill instructors did good." I'm telling you, you saw in that video, they were three of them yelling at one guy. They were running in place, yelling at him, screaming at him. And I'd like to say that it was real easy, just tune them out. They said some of the most outrageous, stupid things. You just wanted to stop and laugh. That would have just been pouring gasoline on a fire. But you had to discipline, which is in what we're called to be as disciples, disciplined ones. And anything that was done wrong, I had to learn to forgive. Just like here today. You have to learn to forgive people who have harmed you, done you wrong. Jesus taught us that in the Lord's Prayer. He didn't say seek revenge and give us revenge as we seek revenge. He said, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Now, James chapter 2 and verse 13. Oops. It says, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy." Mercy triumphs over judgment. This is what the devil didn't understand. See, I told you, the devil is legalistic. The devil knows law. When Adam sinned, there was a bit of law got put in place. It was a covering of sin. That was God's mercy on man. Also, God's mercy was cutting our lifespan down. Could you imagine living forever without the covering of true covering of sin? I couldn't. Legalism came into play when Adam fell. Okay? When the children of Israel chose not to meet God. God's perfect will for them in the wilderness was not to walk around, not to have to have 10 commandments, not to have all these regulations. They chose it. They refused to meet him. Everybody in the camp was invited to that mountain that day. And Moses was the only one there. They said, "Nope, we don't want to meet him. You go." And you know why, don't you? Fear. Fear kept them from meeting the creator of the universe. They chose rather the legalism. God handed them legalism right down to the brass tacks. He handed them so much legalism, they couldn't do it all. He did that on purpose. We like to think that, you know, well, I'm going to go back, read in the Bible, and I'm going to live according to the Old Testament. You can't do it. Why do you think Jesus Christ came? Because we couldn't do it. We couldn't live legally. We have to live by God's mercy. If it were not for God's mercy, Israel wouldn't have existed. Because for starters, God was going to blast Israel completely off the map before it was a nation. He said, Moses, I'm going to start a new country with you. We're starting over. So God always has wanted mercy for us. Do you realize there's probably things we would have done had Adam not sinned that today we consider sins? There's things people in the world would have done, but it would have been God's mercy covering us. Because the only legal rule he had was don't touch that one stinking tree. That's it. You aren't even to touch the leaves. So you know what your best bet is? And, you know, and here's the hilarious part is God knew the creation he was making. Everybody in here is no different than anybody else. What do you do when somebody tells you not to touch something? I touched it. And here to go to show you even more how much gracious God was, not that Eve was any less than Adam. Woman is no less than man. But to show you how much God just wanted mercy for people, only one person couldn't violate it. Uno. Number one, Adam. Did you notice Eve? Nothing happened when Eve ate of it. It happened when the covering ate. When Adam ate of it. That's why Jesus became the second Adam and became our covering. He was sinless. He was blameless before God. And as such, the devil knew who he was, wanted him dead. And when he killed him and the Holy Spirit resurrected him, he overcame legalism in this world. But when we want to hold people in unforgiveness saying, you owe me, you hurt me. Now again, I'm not saying, folks, you keep going back to the dog that keeps biting you. You know, dog bites me, he doesn't get my trust anymore. And he bites me a second time, he might get a slug. And I ain't talking with this. My dog got a little aggressive with, growled at me the other day, and I looked, grabbed him by his ears, and I pulled him up here, and I said, if you even think of it, I won't hesitate. And you can ask her, she was sitting there. I know she's there. Why? Why are you talking to the dog like he understands what you mean? I think he does. On a primordial level, we understand each other. But when we will not forgive those who have harmed us, folks, we throw ourselves over into legalism and judgment. And there's no mercy in judgment. It's done. You get pulled. Listen, how many of you have been a cop that says, you know what? I'm not going to give you a ticket today. Just show your hands. Hopefully, yeah, not all of us have. Okay, a few of us have. Okay, that's only happened to me one time. The other one said, the reason I'm giving you a ticket today. Oh, for crying out loud, what do I got? Give me a ticket today written on my forehead? What did they exercise? They exercised mercy. They didn't have to give you the ticket. See, that's the great thing. Everybody's like, oh, I just want dinner. Listen, if you take out human connection, you will take out mercy. Well, I just want machines to do everything. That's why I go up here to the bank and they say, you know, you can do that at the ATM. And I said, do you want to keep employed? You keep telling me to go out there. So I've been going to the ATM a little bit more. Eventually you're going to get it. Quit pushing me outside the door. But you take out mercy when you have to deal with a machine because it only knows legalism. No, you can't do that. Eventually if they get robots in the cars, in the police cars, and they pull you over, you're getting a ticket. Because the robot doesn't have a sense of humor. It only knows what legal jargon has been put into it. The language that's been put into it is what it follows. It cannot deviate from that. That is legalism. I can't deviate away from this. But rather, if we were to say, you know what, God, I'm going to choose to forgive. They hurt me. They seriously wronged me. I'm going to forgive them. I ain't going to go stick my hand back in that cage again. But I forgive them and I'll move on. I will continue to help people. See, that's one of the things that I, you know, especially with Facebook, I do periodically get on. I haven't been liking a lot of stuff just because I have to watch my comments sometimes. But because of my position. But one of the things I see is, was helping somebody and they stabbed me in the back again. I'll never do that again. I'll never help anybody again. Why? The next time it might not be. You might have just found your best friend the next time. You might have just found your love the next time. You don't know. You have to keep getting up. You get knocked down, you get back up. And the only way you can really do that is understanding that God's mercy is for you too. It's for you. You have to receive God's mercy. That's why I told you when we started this. We have to forgive ourselves. It means we receive God's mercy into our lives for what we've done. And last week I talked about religious unforgiveness, where we hold people who we know were awful people, and then they got saved, and we're like, God can't forgive them. They ate people. How do you think God's going to forgive them? Because they said, Lord, I know what I did was wrong. Please forgive me. And my wife corrected me. It was James Dobson led Ted Bundy. However, Jeffrey Dahmer was led to the Lord as well. You may say, well, he deserved to die. He died. But did he deserve to go to hell? We don't know the whole grand scope of things. Well, what about the people that he killed? I don't know. Only God knows the beginning from the end. He knows what people can do. You sit here and say, well, I could never do that. I promise you, every last one of you could kill somebody. I promise you, you could do it. And the ones that are shaking their head, yes, scare me. No, I'm just teasing. I'm just going to be very careful around a few of you. But God's love is for them too. It was for Osama bin Laden. It's for every terrorist who's ever killed somebody. It was for Adolf Hitler. And you know what? God knew what he was going to grow up to be. I don't understand why God allowed this. Why did God allow this? Do you know what Adolf Hitler's Holocaust did for the nation of Israel? It created a nation. Israel did not exist until 1948. And the reason it existed is because the world saw what hate did. And they said they need their country back. Well, it was awful. Of course it's awful. It's what happens when sin is allowed to run and godlessness is the rule of the day. Please don't take God's try to act like you're God. I'm not going to forgive him. God chose to forgive you. He chose, the Bible says, to cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. Forget them. They're gone. He doesn't sit there and say, well, you know, Gloria, June 1972, you did this at 1 p.m. Gloria says, say what? God, I don't even remember 1972. I don't. Of course, I was only two. But God says, Gloria, do you see anything on your record for June 1972 at 1 p.m.? Mine's blank. But Gloria may say, but Lord, I do remember. I know what I did. And he says, I don't remember it. See, you've chosen to forgive. The blood of Christ is mercy. Legalism is the eraser. It'll take away all that Christ did, because now you're trying to say, I can do this. I can pay for my own sin. Listen, if you really relish the thought of spending eternity separated from any love, the torment that is in hell is from within. I'm going to get this through to people. We're worried about Dante's Inferno. We're worried about people visiting hell for 5 hours or 5 days or whatever. Listen, God put those, I believe, allowed certain things to happen. Primarily as much for their sake as anything. But I'm telling you what your Bible, the book you have on your lap or at your bedside or on your coffee table, wherever you choose to have your Bible, I'm telling you right now, your Bible says that hell is dark. It is full of torment. The devil's not going to be down there poking you with a Triton. He's going to be in torment himself. You're going to be screaming from within, because one thing is going to pass through your mind. All I had to say was, yes, Jesus. That's it. See, don't ever rejoice when people go to hell. The disciples came back after casting out demons and they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us. And Jesus said, don't rejoice over that. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because the demons in hell will be tormented forever. Every angel that fell will be tormented forever, knowing they rejected God's love and mercy. Don't be that person. Hell's not going to be a place where you're down there partying. I don't care what rock group wrote what song. And as far as serving on my knees, I serve standing up. It's easier to do what God has asked me to do than to crawl around. Humility has nothing to do with being on your knees. Primarily because right now God knows if I get down, I may not be getting up. He's going to have to come over here and push the meniscus and everything back in place. I honestly say I felt for JT Barrett yesterday. And when he got up, I told her, I said, I know what he did. I've seen that hobble. But do not become an unforgiving person. Forgive. Unforgiveness torments you. It tortures you. There's no other way. You have to forgive. Unforgiveness will just flat out drive you crazy. I honestly today thought I wanted to try to preach a message about being thankful and how that works into forgiveness. And I think I talked a little bit about that this morning. But if you want to be thankful for anything, folks, be thankful for what God has done. The price that he paid. Like I said, I'm going to talk to you more, you know, probably here shortly about what it means to be forsaken and what Jesus went through for us. And I hope you're like me, and when you start seeing this stuff and you start imagining the pain, not just the physical pain, but the pain of knowing that the only person you cared about their opinion turned their back, then we have more of an understanding of what Jesus actually went through on the cross. And one time he says, I look forward to it. And then another time he says, Lord, if this cup can pass, take it. Make another way. God had one other way. Did you know that? One other way. The Bible says there were legions of angels on standby, ready to remove him from that cross. And if they were to remove him from that cross, they were to destroy this world. That was the only other way. Do you understand that? Jesus said, I will do all this to save Pat and Brenda, Tristan, Susan, to save us all. He said, I'll do it. See, now the great thing is he's looking forward to coming back and seeing us. I believe. Let's stand. Listen, God's love is not for a select few, it's for everybody. It took me a long time to understand. I can't tell you how many times, you know, I knew I wasn't quite living right in my heart. And, you know, people say, Lord, you know, throw out an altar call. If you want to rededicate your life, throw up your hand. I put my hand up. And nothing changed. As a matter of fact, from that point, I went worse. What did it for me? It was this little place called Rock Bottom. Although I kind of think there might have been an even lower spot. Really didn't want to go there. Didn't sound quite as fun. What I did find, though, was that God was willing to meet me right then, right there. To forgive me. You know, and even though I didn't feel him come down and wrap his arms around me, I know he did. Because I can promise you, I wouldn't be here today if he hadn't. Because I had so much anger built up. I've told you before about anger. You know, some of us are kind of like, we're just the old faithful. We're blowing off regularly. And then some of us, we're a volcano. We hold it, we hold it, we hold it, hold it. And then when we blow, everything around us dies. And that's the way I was. And trust me, there was an explosion about to happen. But what God did was he started working on me, opening my eyes to see what I had to do. And it took me quite a few years to forgive. That was 91. 10 years. I hope it don't take you that long. But I promise you what happened inside that year changed me so much. That's why I'm here today, because it was that year God said, here you go. I don't have a doctorate hanging on my wall. I don't have anything hanging on my wall except a discharge from the Marine Corps. That's my doctorate right there. But what I have is experience. I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads. To know Jesus Christ and to have said a prayer at one time is one thing. But to know him like he knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows your likes, your dislikes. He knows how many gray hairs you already have. God knows everything there is. He knows when you're angry. He knows when you're sad. I just want to ask you right now, be honest with yourself. And don't do it just because I'm asking, but do it because you're really willing to make a change. Because if not, just hold off. Because evidently you haven't hit far enough down. Because it's so much better for you to know and not go back than to know and to turn yourself away from God. If you want to know Jesus Christ, I'm not going to have you come up here. I am going to pray. But if you want to know God, you know you're not where you're supposed to be in your life. I just want you to raise your hand. Okay, I see those hands. Okay. Yep. My prayer for you is not going to be that somehow you miraculously change. If we don't earn something, it doesn't stick with us. My prayer is going to be that you find the person that God created in you, and you fight, and that you stand, and you become that person God made you to be. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for these people that have lifted their hands today. Lord, I know there may be a few who were on the fence and didn't know whether or not to, but Lord, right now, if they mean this in their heart and they're crying out to you, Lord, I pray that every person, including them, you change their lives. Father, you help them each and every day to remember, first off, to forgive. But Father, to get back up, the other people's opinions of them does not matter. It's what you think of us. Lord, I pray that you surround them with your love, that you hold them tight, that you give them strength to overcome the things, the chains that are binding them, Lord, right now. In Jesus' name, I pray, I stand against them things. The addictions, the pain, the torment, Father. Right now, in Jesus' name, it's broken. I speak life into them right now, Father. That loneliness will be filled with knowing that, first off, with you, we are never alone. But, Father, that when we get that straightened up, you will bring the rest. Father, I pray right now that you minister to each and every person. Put a new fire in them, Father. A new spark. A new spring in their step, Lord God, as they go about understanding who you are, walking with you, that even though they're by themselves, knowing that they're the majority. Lord, I thank you for all these people. Lord, I know as we search ourselves, Father, that you will open up the areas that we are holding people in unforgiveness. Father, I pray for strength and courage for the people to address these and to take them on. And Father, I bless them today. Lord, I pray that as they go about this week, Father, you will help them to operate in unforgiveness. When somebody comes at them and hurts them, Father, you will remind them to forgive. Father, we also pray for protection for all of those who will be hunting deer this week. Lord, we thank you for a successful season in Jesus' name. Amen.